Hello, I'm Mike Sainsbury and welcome to this ASI cast. In an earlier edition, ASI's Media Technology Director, Graham Lovelace, interviewed Nigel Wally of Decipher to determine his key takeaways from this year's IBC convention in Amsterdam. This time, he gets another perspective on the same show from Paolo Pescatori, Director of CCS Insight, who considers what he learned of the prospects for the telcos to establish a strong footing in the TV industry as dominant new players. Graham.
Paolo, a warm welcome to this ASI cast.
Thank you, Graham. Great to be here.
Paolo, CCS Insight is a global analyst company. You focus on mobile communications and the internet. Of course, thanks to convergence, that means that now, as an analyst, you're covering the move by telcos into online TV, as well as the rush on the part of incumbent pay TV providers to offer online video services. You were at this year's IBC, the International Broadcasting Convention. What did the telcos have on show at that broadcasting event?
Well, certainly at IBC in 2014, we noted greater involvement by the telcos. And building on this theme, companies like Deutsche Telekom, Telstra and Verizon had a bigger presence at this year's show. Two things. First of all, they're all showcasing their capabilities to help companies launch tailored entertainment solutions. And it highlights a growing revenue opportunity for the telcos in media distribution. Many operators are now seeking to attract new revenue for wholesale media services by building on their existing wholesale businesses for voice. You know, this includes things like video delivery, content distribution, content acquisition, and professional hosting. And secondly, operators are spending considerable time evaluating their options in video and TV itself.
Now, in your notes on IBC, you said that the near-term future of TV involves a mobile-first approach on the part of TV providers. What did you actually mean by that?
So our research shows that the install base of mobile phones at the end of 2014 was about 5.7 billion, and we believe it will grow to 6.9 billion by the end of 2019. Though some people will own multiple devices, it represents a significant opportunity for telcos and the TV industry, which should not be ignored. More and more people are now watching live TV as well as downloading content on mobile devices, especially millennials who watch programs on their mobile devices while their parents use the main TV set in the living room. And it's not just this group. You know, I'm a little bit older and I watch all of the footy games and Formula One on my mobile devices, sometimes three screens at any given time while the missus is in control of the 50-inch 4K TV. You just need to check out my Twitter feed for proof of this. But anyway, we still believe there are opportunities to use mobile devices to provide users with an immersive second screen experience. Although, as more providers launch online video services, it's paramount to take a mobile-first approach to reach new audiences. And, you know, with this in mind, you know, telcos particularly, we feel they should launch standalone online video services or think about bundling them into other offerings. You know, that would generate far greater appeal among younger audiences who have taken a mobile first approach to accessing content anywhere.
I see. Thinking about telcos and their entry into TV, I remember the early interactive television trials back in the mid-1990s with BT here in the UK, but also the major operators in the US with their TV experiments. It's only now, though, that telcos are really making their presence felt here and across the pond. The AT&T acquisition of DirecTV is a case in point. Why has it taken telcos so long to actually establish a really strong footing in the TV industry? And are they really placed to be the dominant new players?
Wow, so many questions there, Graham. how long have we got? Hindsight is a wonderful thing. You know, I even remember the early launches of WAP, people's first experience of accessing the web on their phones, which was quickly labeled WAP is crap. Yep. It's been a long road, but we are finally there of getting TV across many screens. And it comes down to a combination of things, really. You know, IP, sorry, the move and the introduction to IP, which is accelerating. Faster networks, both for fixed and mobile. Devices have made a huge leap, largely driven by Apple's iPhone, and apps, which are simply very easy to use. But to your point on the opportunity, this is really largely down to Netflix, who have paved the way. You know, they've clearly demonstrated a strong appetite for the service, having now amassed more than 60 million subscribers globally. And more importantly, all of these are paying a monthly fee, and it shows that people are willing to pay for video content. With that in mind, you know, we firmly believe that telcos are very well placed to offer video services given their extensive network assets across fixed and mobile. They have the channel, hence why Netflix has partnered with so many telcos, but they need to move at web speed. You know, pay TV is one of the fastest growing segments, and the addressable market is still quite large, certainly in Europe. Less so perhaps in the US, but AT&T and Verizon are the only true converged so-called quad play providers for now. And you mentioned earlier AT&T's super mega acquisition of DirecTV. And that brings me on to a nice point that we've seen a slew of corporate activity, and it's all part of these players trying to prepare themselves to be better positioned in offering multi-play services. Another example of that, of course, is Telefonica's acquisition of Canal Plus in Spain. And we predict many more.
You mentioned Netflix there, Paolo, and I can't help but reminding you of your prediction early in 2015 that we'd see Netflix being acquired during this year by a web player such as Google or Alibaba. Is that still your view?
We still firmly believe that Netflix is a takeover target. The principal obstacles still largely remain around the amount of investment needed to secure rights for each country and how quickly it can become profitable in each of the market. You know, fundamentally, international expansion is key to its future growth. To that end, all web players are looking to gain a stronger presence in paid-for video, which we know which is something Netflix has achieved with remarkable success. You know, potential suitors for Netflix would include the Alibabas and Google of this world. And a hookup with a web provider would certainly give Netflix more reach and greater stability for its expansion plans. And for the buyer, it would give them closer ties with the Hollywood studios and, more importantly, an attractive and growing portfolio of original shows that have been commissioned by Netflix.
You just mentioned Google, and of course, they've just launched relaunched their modified Chromecast device. This is a device which allows you to basically zap or cast content on a mobile device in front of you onto the main screen TV. In that scenario, I guess the smartphone becomes a set-top box. It's actually receiving the content. You're using your main TV screen to then basically present it in the best possible way. Is that a fair reading of the situation where the smartphone becomes a quasi set-top box?
Quite feasibly, you know, that could certainly be the case. We have another prediction in this area, and that the traditional set-top box has become virtual. You know, dongles have provided some early disruption in this area, but, you know, moves by companies like Majin to offer cloud-based multi-screen services raises a question why service providers, and specifically telcos, need to deploy set-top boxes. Margins are being squeezed, and supporting and subsidizing hardware is costly. You know, therefore, we truly believe that service providers need to exploit their network assets to offer users a truly TV everywhere service, you know, aided by software-defined networks, virtualization, and more cost-efficient routers.
So less equipment in the home.
Indeed.
Thank you, Paolo. We're now out of time for this ASI cast. My thanks for Paolo for joining us and to you for listening. Now back to Mike.
You've been listening to an ASI cast, our regular series of interviews and chats, available at the ASI website at asiconferences.com.